No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. As always, you can check out all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com, Facebook, the Tube of You, social media, podcast platforms, Amazon Prime. It's every freaking where. It's even on TV as well. Or just simply turn your radio dial to 93.7. It's a loaded show today, as always. A little bit shorter than normal, so it's going to be even more loaded than normal, if that's even possible. I got a friend with me today. Jake has decided not to come to work for the next 2 weeks. I guess people take vacations around here, but that's all right. I'm joined by my friend, producer Jackson. How you doing, Jackson?
I'm doing pretty good, Adam. How are you?
I'm glorious. Are you looking forward to the next couple of weeks, or is it terrifying?
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. It's fun. Good way to start, kick off the summer.
Absolutely. It'll be a whole lot of fun. All right. Loaded show today. Trey Taylor shows out at the Elite 11 quarterback camp. All right, Husker baseball. The postseason starts tonight. Big Ten tournament taking on Michigan State. What's the deal with this tournament format? And what do we think Husker baseball can do in the Big Ten tournament? They pretty much got to win the whole thing to realistically keep going on in the postseason. Something they did a year ago, I might add. Is the Big Ten indeed better than the SEC? Urban Meyer, who was coached in and won national titles in both conferences, thinks that the Big Ten is now ahead of the SEC. Notre Dame and USC, they might not continue their rivalry. A near century-long rivalry is in jeopardy. All right, and Nebraska football legend, a former national champ, All-American, All-Conference performer, defensive lineman, NFL vet, former Husker himself, Mr. Steve Warren, is going to join us at 12:30 today. Let's dive right off the top. Were you able to see much, and you and I didn't really chat about this beforehand, but were you able to really see much from Trey Taylor at the Elite 11 quarterback camp at all?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Exactly what we all thought he was, just an elite quarterback showing out at the Elite 11. So, yeah.
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked sharp. If you follow him on social media, you notice a couple of things right away. Number one, just seems like a good dude. He just does. Not because I want him to be a good dude, because we expect him to be our quarterback, but he just seems like a good dude. The way he interacts with fans, the way he responds to people, the way he's willing to interact with people. You know, and even going back to his signing day when he came back and made the apology video that he didn't have to make, tossing the Illinois hat, which, I don't know. Like I said, if it was a Nebraska hat, maybe I wouldn't have felt any different. It's part of the signing, or not signing day, but his announcement fun that kids have nowadays. So for me, he didn't have to do that, but just the fact that he did it showed a consciousness of the people around him, an awareness of self-awareness, and then he is peer recruiting like no other right now. He is determined to bring people to Lincoln with him, and when you watch the Elite 11 quarterback stuff that you're able to see, you see a kid who's like, if what I was going to say on social media before I move on going forward, you see him doing like getting up at like 5 and he posts about these Zoom calls and everything else that he's doing and getting better and trying to learn and trying to work on his footwork and trying to work on his craft and trying to get better. And then I have to remind myself, he's still he's almost out of school, but technically he's still a sophomore.
True.
Can he drive yet? I don't even know his age. Can he? He probably can drive if he's a sophomore, right?
Yeah, I think I drove when I was a sophomore. So.
I was almost a junior. I was young for my class. I was born in May, so I was always very young. Plus, my dad made me wait till I was 17. I don't know why he didn't trust me, but he did it. And then one of the first things I did, it was we had a day off of school, and it's like my mom's old car, so it wasn't some fancy car. It's an appropriate car for a kid in high school to drive for his first car. I'll put it that way, okay? And we get a day off of school because it's snowing and crazy snow. So I'm going to go take a spin. And I'm just randomly driving around, no big deal. Never really driven in snow like that. I grew up riding four-wheelers on big, gigantic sand dunes. Very dangerous stuff, depending on what you choose to do. And I chose to make it very entertaining and dangerous. About died three different times. Story for another day. So I was used to loose ground and you know, whipping the back end around and how to, you know, turning right to go left and all that good stuff. But I got going way too fast. And I ended up, bam, right into a Bronco that was parked on the side. Totaled my mom's car. All right. Now, to this day, my dad maintains that she was furious. To this day, she maintains it was an excuse to get a new car. So somebody's lying to me. It doesn't really matter. This was like 24 years ago now that I'm 41. But we had a game that night versus our crosstown rival. Basketball game. So I'm at the basketball game. And I can kind of hear, as I'm walking by, some of the kids from our student section kind of like, Bronco, Bronco, Bronco. Like they're saying Bronco because I totaled the car into the... My mom's car went right underneath basically the bumper of the Bronco. The Bronco had like barely a scratch on it, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm at the free throw line shooting later in the game, and my own student section starts chanting, Bronco, Bronco. I'm like, you raging a-holes. Oh. Anyways. What was I talking about? I completely went off track with the whole random story. What?
Trey Taylor.
That's right. Yeah, Trey Taylor. My point is, when you pay attention to some of the things that he posts, like he's working hard. He's not ramming into Broncos, you know, but he's still a sophomore in high school. But you just, the Zoom calls, he's working on his footwork. He's working on his craft. He's trying to get better. And then you got to remind yourself that he's still an underclassman in high school. But it's hard not to like him. So when you watch the Elite 11 footage and the quarterback stuff that you can watch, here's what I see. I see a kid who looks like he's a junior or senior already. I see a kid who was on point when it came to short and intermediate passes being accurate. A kid whose footwork is ahead of where he probably should be. So he's got good footwork is what I'm saying. Fancy way of saying he's got good footwork. And you can tell he's put in the time, the effort, the work. And when you watch the actual passes, they've got good zip on him, especially for his age. He's only going to get bigger. He's only going to get stronger. He's got two more years before he ever steps foot on a college campus somewhere. I guess if he enrolls early, a solid year and a half at the least, okay? And so for me, you watch him. You watch how he is on social media. You watch the stuff that he posts. You watch him at the Elite 11 camp, and he does. He stands out. He looks good. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. This kid's still a sophomore. I keep thinking he's a junior or senior. And so for me, when I watch him doing these things, to me, it's hard not to get excited. Now, again, unfortunately, I have to reiterate what we all already know. There's other college coaches that are not going to stop recruiting him. They've got 2 years or 18 months or whatever it is to try to change his mind. But he's been adamant that he's coming here. And in fact, when I saw him talk about it online, he said 18 months. So probably plans on enrolling early. Like he plans on being here in 18 months. He plans on bringing as many top recruits as he possibly can with him. And it's hard not to just not like him in general. Some of the other recruits at Nebraska is obviously they're going after the best of the best that they can possibly talk to across the country. Matt Rhule, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but in one of his press conferences, it may have been back during spring ball, I forget. He basically said, we're not trying to compete with Big 12 teams. And it wasn't a shot at the Big 12, although it could easily be perceived that way. He was just stating the obvious. The Big 10 and the SEC are a different level of competition than the Big 12 and ACC, which are a different level of competition than G5 teams. If someone wants to get upset about that, they can. Or you can say, hey, that also just makes a lot of sense. So he was saying, like, we are going to go after the kids and recruit the kids and try to get the commits that we need to compete at the highest level, which is the Big 10 and the SEC. And they're certainly doing that. They're in the conversations. All right, for kids such as Kevin Abbott, 6'5", 285-pound, top 10 offensive tackle in the 2026 class. He's narrowed down to his final four schools. You got Nebraska, you got Oregon, you got Utah, you got Michigan. All right, so Nebraska's in a lot of these kids' final four Final Five schools. Chicago's Morgan Parks, Nasir Rankin, announces his commitment later this week. He is a four-star, top 100, number 85 overall recruit and player in the class of 2026. He's narrowed it down to Duke, Illinois, Nebraska, North Carolina, and SC. And these are just a couple of guys. I'll give you one more. I thought this was awesome. Defensive line coach Terry Braden traveled to Sweden in the recruitment of Valdin Sohn, a 6'3", 316-pound defensive lineman ranked 174 in the 2026 composite rankings. Let me repeat that. He traveled to Sweden to recruit this kid, which tells you how highly they think of him, how much they want him. And if I'm an individual like that, a coach is coming to a complete different country. Obviously, he will be, looks like, planning to play college ball here in the States, but they clearly want him. 6'3", 316 pounds. All right, that's a kid, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've seen a ton of tape on this kid, but how badly the Husker staff obviously wants him. 6'3", 316, that's a guy just from size and weight. We'll see about overall development, where he's at, depending on where he goes. Hopefully it is the Big Red. He can step foot and make some sort of impact sooner rather than later if and when he does actually commit to Nebraska. What are your thoughts based on what you've seen, what you've known about Trey Taylor to this point in time, your impressions of him as a player and the impact he's trying to make on the recruitment trail, trying to get more players from across the country to follow him to Lincoln?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, when he committed, the first thing that I thought of is it all really just zones back to Dylan Raiola. Like, I don't think if you don't get Dylan Raiola, you don't get Trey Taylor, and you don't get these quarterbacks that know how to peer recruit. And it's almost like we're getting to the point where once you get your quarterback in a recruiting class, kind of just sets up this peer recruiting trail where
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You get your top guy in the class who happens to be a quarterback, and now he's just going to go after every top recruit that he can. I think it's great. I love that he committed to Nebraska super early on in his high school career. Obviously, there's a lot of time. There's other coaches that are going to recruit him. I honestly could see him reclassifying. It doesn't happen a lot, but a guy that commits that early is very dedicated to a program. I could see him reclassifying potentially, but we'll see. I like Trey Taylor. I'm very excited to see what he does for these next couple of years.
For those who may not know what reclassify means, you want to explain that real quick?
Yeah, so reclassifying, like an example, like Ryan Williams, the wide receiver, the superstar wide receiver for Alabama. I don't know what exact class this is. I think he would have been a freshman this year.
He was 17 last year.
So yeah, he was class of 25. Reclassifying means that you just enter college early. Like, you could graduate high school early, like some students do. I know people that have done it, but you graduate high school early, and then you just enroll in college, and then you can start eligibility then instead of waiting a year. So
basically moving up a year.
Yeah, is what it pretty is. Much. That's in simple terms. Yeah.
It's funny when Bama played Georgia, that to this day, still one of the best regular season games I've ever seen. Bama comes out. I mean, they're just steamrolling Georgia, 28-0. Jalen Milroe, they look like they're going to win the national championship, the Super Bowl, and Milroe's going to win the Heisman and the NFL MVP all in the first like quarter and a half of the game. At halftime, it's still 30-7. Georgia comes all the way back, and they actually led for about 90 seconds with about 5 minutes to go. It was an amazing comeback. But Milroe hits Ryan Williams, a 17-year-old phenom, okay, with a deep pass, and he does this epic spin move and makes two elite athletic Georgia DBs just look like elementary school kids who had never played a down of football in a flag football game. And they're elite-level athletes, and he makes them both look silly and takes it to the house for the go-ahead touchdown. Now, Georgia, actually, if you remember, marched down the field, and Bama had to get a pick at the goal line to clinch the game. But, man, Ryan Williams was 17 when he did that, which is crazy. All right. So moving on now. Nebraska baseball. So I'm going to attempt to explain this Big Ten tournament format. All right, but real quick, just as kind of a little synopsis, Nebraska has now, they're over 500. And at one point, they were significantly under 500. They're 28-27 on the year. They finished the Big Ten at exactly 500, 15-15. In their last game, I mean, they beat Purdue 14-2, 14 runs, 15 hits. Okay, and run ruled them. But they have now won five consecutive series. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being hopeful. Maybe it is what it is, and the fact that maybe they are actually hitting their stride at the right time. This is the team that has the talent. This is the team that has the experience. This is the team that has the coaching. Yes, they lost one of their top, if not their top, pitchers early on. Everybody deals with injury. It's part of the game, unfortunately. But I feel like they're hitting their stride at the right time. You look at this Big Ten tournament, and again, I'm going to try to explain it. Okay, Nebraska baseball, 28-27, 15-15, locked up the number 8 seed in the Big Ten tournament by taking 2 of 3 at Purdue to close out the regular season. The Huskers take on number 12 seed Michigan State, who finished 28-25 on the regular season tonight. All right, and then it's like pool play. There's pool play, all right, which we're not used to in a tournament style format, but it's pool play. And then number 1 seed Oregon, who's 41-13, 22-8 in the Big Ten on Friday, and that game's in Omaha starting at 6 p.m. The new Big Ten tournament can be a little confusing. 4 3-team pods, okay, there's 12 teams that are in, play a round robin. Now, what happens if each team goes 1-1 in the pod? The highest seed advances. Therefore, if Nebraska loses on Tuesday and Oregon beats Michigan State on Thursday, all right, the Ducks will automatically qualify for the semifinal round. That makes it paramount for the Huskers not to overlook the Spartans. They got to win tonight. They got to beat Michigan State tonight. All right, So basically, if you're in U Sports right now, a lot of times, like a baseball tournament, you'll play pool play on Saturday. You'll play 1, 2 to 3 games, and then it's seeding for Sunday. And some teams do get eliminated if you don't finish at least 1 or 2 in your little bracket or your pool in the pool play side of things on Saturday. Then Sunday is the usually single elimination games on Sunday. Does the format, not whether you like it or not, does it make sense?
Yeah.
You look confused.
Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about it. I know they changed it. Yeah. It makes sense. I think it'll be easier to follow once the tournament starts and I'm watching the games and they're, you know, actively explaining and breaking it down on ESPN or whatever the Aaron Big Ten Network. I think I'll start to really catch on then. But right now, yeah, it's a little confusing to me currently. But I kind of see what they're doing.
Yeah.
I can't say I really get the why, but I can see what they're doing.
Well, I don't know. I went in the room and they came up with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's two reasons that they would do something like this. Number one, you want to guarantee more games. Because if you just go straight single elimination, you're only guaranteed one game. Here, you're guaranteed at least 2 games, maybe 3. All right. So they want to guarantee more games. I don't know why they'd really care about that. This isn't youth sports. And you're trying to make sure parents get their money's worth. All right. That's why you have pool play Saturday and then tournament play Sunday. Because everyone's guaranteed at least 2 games Saturday, 1 game Sunday. You can say 3-game guarantee, so parents don't mind shelling out a couple $100. If you're like, hey, it's single elimination right out the gate, you might get 1 game, you paid $150, $200 or whatever. Parents aren't going to be thrilled with that. So I don't know that it's that. I think they're trying to reward the higher seeds. The top 4 seeds significantly benefit from this. Like Oregon would get the tiebreaker if everyone goes 1-1 in this 3-team pod that Nebraska, Michigan State, and Oregon are in. So they're trying to reward the higher seeds, which makes the regular season more important. Is this more confusing? Yes. Is it necessary? No. You look at the SEC, it's a lot more straightforward. It's a lot more typical. It's a lot easier to understand. Everybody seems to hate it. I don't know that I'm a fan of it. I do not hate it, though. And I do not hate it for 2 reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't mind taking the time to try to learn and understand a format. A lot of people just want it to be simple and easy. Like with the college football playoff, they're like, just give us the top 16 teams in the country. Which I've explained why you're going to have human bias and everything else and about 15 SEC teams in, because that's just how people view things. So to me, I'm not a complete fan of just take the top 16 ranked teams for several reasons. There has to be a certain amount of we won this championship on the field. How you seed us may be different, but we need to be guaranteed to be in a 16-team playoff. Like if I'm the ACC champ, what if I'm ranked 18th in the country? And then there's a 4-loss SEC team in front of me. Well, we know they're not the best team. But at least I won a championship on the field, albeit from a weaker conference. You know, maybe I'm 10-2 or something like that. The bottom line is neither team's going to win. There's too many teams in the playoff. But my point is I don't mind taking the time to learn a bit of a unique format. Also, I love anything that rewards the regular season. Anything that puts more emphasis on the regular season, I'm personally going to like it, because the regular season has been devalued in every sport, but especially college football, where it was unique. It was an outlier. That was something that made it special, at least I thought. Okay. So Michigan State tonight. When did I say they played Oregon? Was it Friday? I had it here in front of me a minute ago. All right. Let's see. Yes. Tuesday, number one seed, Oregon on Friday. All right, each starting at 6 p.m. Central Time in Omaha. So they're trying to reward the higher seeds. It does make it more confusing. It does put more value on the regular season, because if you're a top four seed, you get an exceed. You get an exceedingly an advantage, is what I'm trying to say. And so for me, I don't completely hate it. It's a little convoluted, maybe a little bit more difficult to understand. All right, how long before we got a head to break? Is it a 25 here?
I mean, we can go whenever. We got to stay a little early because of the baseball games. And we throw it back out at Nick Center, Austin Orman. So,
yeah. All right. So here's what we'll do. Couple of tidbits, and we'll go to break here in about 90 seconds. So Texas A&M baseball and softball. If you hadn't heard, Texas A&M baseball was the preseason number one team in the country and finished 14th in the SEC out of 16 teams, and will miss the NCAA tournament probably. That... they almost won the national championship last year. This is just crazy to me. But then Texas A&M softball entered the postseason as the number one team in the country and just became the first top seed ever to fail to get out of their own regional. To me, that was just kind of mind-blowing. It's not positive. It's not negative. It was just, like, mind-blowing to me. Hard to even fathom. And have you seen, all right, Maya Lesner? So I actually lived around Fort Collins. So I've been to Colorado State's campus. It's gorgeous. If they just win at something... everything's sitting there. They put up millions of dollars into their stadium, into their facilities, into everything. They just don't win a lot. But they want to be a Big 12 team. That's what their aspirations are. Okay, if you've ever, like, look at you, you're like, no, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Everything's there except the actual wins. Like, they've done everything else. They need to figure it out. Former Nebraska tight ends coach, offensive coordinator Jay Norvell is there. Tim Cassidy, who is here at Nebraska, just retired. He was there for a couple of years. I had the opportunity to go around their weight room, watch spring practice a year or two ago. They were very opening, welcoming, and friendly. But Brock Lesnar's daughter, Maya Lesnar, goes there. And some people were like, dude, this was like 4 or 5 years ago when she first got there. Dude, Brock Lesnar walked into the old Colorado State head coach, Sonny's Steakhouse. And everyone just like stared at him like crazy. I wasn't there that night. But they were like, everyone just stared at him. But Maya Lesnar, and... she looks like her dad, the female version of it. Like, she's a very powerful athlete. If you watch her, very explosive, much like her dad. Just won her fourth straight Mountain West shot put title, and she's the favorite to win the national title in shot put. So, like, father, like daughter kind of thing.
Yeah, not kidding.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nebraska football legend Steve Warren. And before the end of the show, SEC better than the Big Ten? Per Urban Meyer, it is. Notre Dame USC, no longer. We'll chat about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.